I want you all to know that Julie Binion loves her pastor. You can't see this that well, but that's what I call a starter pack of peanut butter fudge. That's just before the pastor gets ready to preach. He used to eat this to make him sweeter, Faye. Oh, Faye got a chocolate one, I'll declare. So she could put up with her husband in the pulpit. I know what that was. Thank you, Julie. That was sweet. You know, as God speaks to us on a daily basis, you hear Randy and I both all the time focusing on that relationship with Jesus. We need a relationship with him. This morning, our journey is going to focus on religion versus relationship worship. Religion versus relationship worship. Now, folks, you and I definitely need to worship. We worship many different ways, many different places, many times during the week. Normally, you do more of your worshiping during a time of when there's tragedy, something, and we call on the name of the Lord. Now, could it have called on the name of the Lord and he stopped it? Listen to me. That's a trouble right now with the Christians. We beat ourselves up saying, what could I have done? Now, you and I should take an inner look at our life and focus on what can we do. But if we didn't, you cannot blame every situation that's going on that is bad in your life. You cannot blame that on yourself. Evil happens, folks. Bad things happen. God himself warned us, don't do that. God himself let us know. Well, he gave us a whole story on a man named Job. And Job lost everything, got all the sickness, had all the boils, had all the misery. And then he sets out in sackcloth and ashes. He's set in a fire pit. Scratched himself with a clay pot broken. Miserable. And all of his friends said, what'd you do, Job? What'd you do wrong? This couldn't happen to you if you hadn't done something wrong. And Job said, I don't know what you're talking about. I serve the Lord. I serve the Lord with gladness. Well, I pray all the time for my 10 children, knowing that they were young and they were doing things foolishly, and I was in prayer for them continually that God would overlook their weaknesses. But he had to hear it from his friends. Then God comes on the scene. See, when God speaks, people said, are you going to listen to God? I assure you, when God decides to speak, you're going to listen. You got me? He has ways of getting your attention. He comes on the scene. He looks at Job's friends and said, Job did nothing wrong. All that happened to him was for my glory. And God showed him a miracle. Not only did he heal him, he gave him back twice as much as he had ever had before. But we have a tendency in this generation even to blame any bad situation that goes on within the life, well, you must have done something ungodly. Now, we do enough ungodly stuff. Every one of us do. Don't get me wrong. But God's not out to zap me. God is not this figure of a man with a long white beard and long hair just waiting for us to mess up so he can pounce on us. That's not the God you serve. That's the God of religion. That's not the God of a relationship. The God that we serve is spirit, and he must be worshiped in spirit and in truth. Jesus is the truth. Therefore, believing in Jesus, God incarnate, brings us into the presence of God. In his presence, I have healing. I have the touch. But I may go through hell before I get it. All of us have gone through some kind of hell in our life. Many are going through that hell right now. And religion tells us this. Well, I'm going to give you these numbers, and you go by these numbers. Now, brothers and sisters, how much I love you. But if, oh, I heard that type of voice half my life. But now you need to memorize this scripture, and you'll be fine. Here's what I want you to memorize. The name of Jesus. Now listen to me. The name of Jesus. Memorize it. Focus it in your heart. He's given you a picture of who he is within your own spirit. That's a relationship. Jesus believed in relationship. He did not like the legalism of religion. So today we're going through that journey. I got a little excited before I started. But folks, when you have a relationship with God Almighty, even though Freud and all the other crew said I couldn't, I quit studying him because of that stuff. I was too busy in my relationship with the Lord. You get what I mean? So therefore, when you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, bad things are going to happen to you, but he's still with you. Right through the middle of the hell itself that is going on in your life, there's not a cancer so tough that Jesus won't be there with you. You got me? And to give you that strength and to lift you up, because I am related to him. When I said yes to Jesus Christ, then I got a blood transfusion, Brother Jory. And that blood transfusion runs through my veins. It's the blood of Christ that saturates the bodies of every human being that says yes. Oh, that spiritual blood. But at one point, it was physical blood. It was a blood that was shed for you and me. Don't waste it. Don't disrespect it. Don't stamp your foot in it. He shed his blood for you in a relationship. Why, he even says, I love you. Religion is a belief in a God or a group of gods. That's your definition for religion. Religion, a belief in a God or a group of gods. Well, I don't like being put in that group. I serve my God, Yahweh. I serve God, the God who saved me, the God who loves me, the God who sent his only begotten son. His name is Jesus. Memorize that name. His name is Jesus. Because he loved me so much. And he loves you so much. But religion just believes in a God or maybe a group of God. Pulled it together. You listen to people on TV and everywhere else talk about this. 2 Timothy 3 verse 7. Here's what Paul says to Timothy about these kind of people. They're always learning, but they're never able to acknowledge the truth. I know a lot of smart people that aren't so smart. Got it? I mean, professors and all. Intelligent, yes. I want us to focus on being spirit-led, not brain-led. Because as you get older, your brain's dying. Any of you noticing that? You don't think like you used to. Some of us just don't think at all. We just shut it off because we don't like what we're thinking. But God says religion will do be a way of you learning this and learning that, but never being able to come to the truth of life. His name is Jesus. Memorize that name if I haven't said that. Memorize the name Jesus, for he's your Savior. But religion, always learning but never able to come to the knowledge of who he really is. Religious worship, here's what it focuses on. Earn or burn plan of worship through works. Earn or burn. Well, now, and all this bothered me in the many churches when I was in revivals. Well, now, Brother Larry, we had a whole lot of folks saved last week while you were here. And now we're telling them, now that you're saved, here's how we want you to dress, here's how we want you to talk, here's how we want you to act. And Brother Larry says, you know, I need to come back and do another revival just for you leaders. Because you need to understand something. It's not in all of that. That's not your business. Once a person accepts Jesus as Lord and Savior of their life, then you allow Christ to direct their life. You let him do the directing of how they dress, how their hair looks, how long it is, how shabby it is. You need a little trim, Joey. Need to get around on that stuff. And allow the Lord to speak to the heart and to the mind. See, this religious situation is all focused on the mind, what you can do. Jesus focuses on your mind, your heart, your spirit, based on a relationship. Larry, let me lead you today. Well, what if I'm in a bad mood? What if I got up on the wrong side of the bed? What if I got up and my wife had not fixed me a big breakfast? It's obvious I'm not going to get that big breakfast now either. But think of that. You know, you just had a bad day. Religion says that you either have to do something in repentance. You have to, say something. You have to stay on your knees longer. You have to do this. Jesus said, I'm with you, Brother Randy. I love you just like you are, even though you have a case of the stupid so often. I love you.
Thank you,
that,
Lord.
That happens to be relationship, not religion. That's relationship. Jesus says, I can relate to your problems because I went through the human condition and suffered every temptation just as you. Therefore, I understand you. And he's the only one that understands you or me. And he said, I want you to understand that religion does more to crush people than to help people. Now, really, preacher, is that a paraphrase? No, let me read it to you. This is Jesus speaking. Gospel of Matthew chapter 23, verse 4. Here's what Jesus says about them. They crush people with unbearable religious demands and never lift a finger to ease the burden. They're the kind that stand back, I told you God's going to zap you, I told you God's going to zap you. See, now you got cancers, now you got this, now you got that. This happened to you because God, that's a religion. And Jesus said they crush people with unbearable religious demands and never lift a finger to ease a burden. Then he says, Jesus, in Matthew 23:15, Woe to you. Now, when you see woe in Scripture, stop. Now, if you're the horse, you'd know what that meant. Woe. Stop. But when you see it, and Jesus is saying it, somebody's in trouble. Now, listen to him. Woe to you. He's talking to people like me. Or he's talking to the Pharisee, religious leaders, teachers. But he's saying, you teachers of the law, oh, you know so much of Moses' law. You know so many laws. As a matter of fact, as you're going along and you wanted to control the people more, you made up your own laws and put my name on it. Jesus was not happy with these people. Not only were they quoting the laws, they had written at least 3,000 new ones that were not of God. And Jesus says, woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as you are. Boy, Jesus got tough, didn't he? They also ran him out of the temple. Yeah, and yes, he did shout. Gosh. Yes, he did kick over the tables. Yeah, but he did it gently. Well, folks, Jesus doesn't like it when the teachers teach you wrong. Jesus doesn't like you being taught the law just so people can control you with that law. Well, if you don't do what I say, this is a law, you're going to hell. Some people get really afraid of that. You know, as a prison chaplain, you have no idea how many times I was told to go to hell walking down the aisle, the hallway of prisons and jails. I even heard some of it from the inmates. Think of it. God says that's religion. Jesus says, I came for you to get away from that foolishness. Laws written by man is to control the church, the people. Well, let me tell you something here now. You can't go to heaven unless you come to church every Sunday, sit on a pew. I'd love to see every one of you here every Sunday. I'd love to see every one of you give to the church. But only if you can. Don't you dare give to this church if you need it for your family. But then you listen to me. I'd love to see your beautiful face, but that has absolutely nothing to do with you going to heaven. Nothing. That's for you to unite together, to bring us that fellowship together. That's for you to feed on. That's for me to feed on. That's our way of life as a Christian family. It's a family and a family grouping together. And all of us with different personalities, different ideas. But religion says, no, you got to do it this way. Jesus said, won't you come? Did he not say, whosoever will, let him come? That's right. And I'm a whosoever. And he says, you come on. And I'll bless your life. And then he tells all the religious leaders again, you're making them twice as much a son of hell as you are. You know, that's quite something coming from a Savior to these religious leaders. And I say that about any religious leader, period. Religious, government leaders, or anybody. You make laws just for control of the people. It's ungodly. It goes against everything that we have been taught as Christians. Therefore, Jesus says, I want a relationship with you. He said, whosoever calls on my name will be saved. I come. I did not know John 3:16. I had memorized it. I did not know any of the scripture. What I heard the preacher says, Whoever wants to say yes to Jesus, won't you come? And as a young boy, I walked an aisle. I came to Christ. I did not come knowing anything. I just came knowing that I believed what I had heard the preacher say. And he said, do you want to be saved? Yep. And I got saved. Well, I started walking down that aisle and it just took one step. I mean to tell you folks, I felt like I was floating. I didn't even know my legs were moving. Actually, I didn't even need them because I knew I was on the way down. I've told you before, that's the first time I ever spoke at about an 8-year-old young boy in public. And I came down. You know, I wasn't even nervous, Brother Randy. I look out at that congregation at the church, Buffalo Baptist Church, and I looked at that congregation, and they were scary. To an 8-year-old boy, they were frightening. There's some ugly people in that church. There were some ugly spirits there. I came forward and I said, I want to accept Jesus. Because the pastor in those days, they said, do you have anything to say? And then the person coming forward could or didn't have to. Well, I did. And I said, I've come wanting to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of my life, follow him in baptism, become a member of this church. And I'm thinking even to this day, where in the world did that come from? Because I didn't know the rules or regulations. But I did meet Jesus and I knew him. And I said yes and I got saved. That's relationship worship. And I worshiped the Lord just because I believed. I didn't have to know how to spell Jesus to accept Jesus. Relationship worship is a passionate attachment. Now, let me tell you about that. Passionate attachment, John 3:16. Right there it is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's pretty passionate. Jesus was passionate when he went to that cross. Jesus was passionate when he called out your name to the Lord. Jesus was passionate. Preacher, do you really believe he knew my name? Yes. We have scripture that tells us that we were being put together in the womb of our mother, that God knew us and everything about us, and Jesus laid out our path for life before we were ever born, and he knew every minute, every second, every step we would ever take. I was blessed. And when I recognized him, I was really blessed. And Jesus was passionate enough and patient enough to bless my life. He called me brother. He called me brother. You hearing me, sisters? He calls you sister. You're family now. And we act like it because we're all messed up, different personalities, as I said, but Jesus comes to the fellowships. He comes when we unite together. He's there with us when we're by ourselves. Is that not a relationship that you want, you desire? It is a relationship, I tell you, that you can have when you say yes to Jesus. Here's where the work comes in. The work came in through Jesus. He finished the work. He completed the law. He didn't do away with the law. He was the completion of the law. and he looked at you, he looked at me, he goes to that cross, and he said, now it is finished. Now you can have a personal relationship with your God. You don't have to go through the preacher. You don't have to go through the priest. You don't have to go through the whoever. Because Jesus has come and he's touched your heart and he has brought to you his spirit, and it's powerful. Watch out, cancer. It's powerful. When Jesus speaks, all creation listens. Jesus knows my name. He knows your name. Therefore, when I cry out to him, Father, I hurt. He does more than what you and I would do as a parent for our own children. He does more. He comes and he fulfills. We can only warn our children. We can only pray for our children. We can only encourage them. We can only give them the advice. Jesus comes and takes the hits. I've come. It's personal. It's a relationship. I have come. Listen to John, 1 John 4:19. We love, you and I love Jesus. We love each other because he first loved us. Isn't that something? You know, really, I'm just thankful that I love you and that you love me. I'm not easy to love sometimes. I've been known to be out of sorts ever so often. I was in the old days. I don't think I have today. But that's who we are. Jesus, we love because he first loved us. There he is. I love you, Randy, despite. 1 John 4:21. And he has given us this command, Jesus. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. I'm not told by God just to put up with Brother Randy. I'm told I got to love him. He's told he's got to love me. You're in there too, Joey.
What's not to love?
Yes, absolutely. You see, that's who we are. This is the relationship. Don't we understand? This is family. Okay, so you fuss and feud a little bit. Get over it. You, me, because of my relationship with Christ, I must love my brethren. Everyone who has said yes to Jesus Christ, I must have a heart for and love them. Doesn't mean I agree with what they say. Doesn't mean I agree with what they do. But I'll love them all the way through the process. There's nothing harder for a Christian to do than to get down in the ditch of life with a fellow Christian wallowing in the blood, the guts, and the beer, or whatever it is, down in that ditch. There's nothing harder to do than to crawl down in that ditch and put your arms around them. All the words they had said to you, all the evil they had tried to cause against you, you put your arms around them. And you have them put their arms around you. And you say, hold on, brother. Hold on, sister. And then you stand in the presence of Almighty God, holding a brother, a sister that has fallen by the wayside. That's worship. That's what Jesus is talking about for me and you. That's our relationship with one another and our relationship with him. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved. Now, you won't find anywhere where Jesus has said, where any of the New Testament prophets have said that it's by works, it's by works, it's by what you do, it's by how many times you attend church, it's by how many times you pray. That does not enter in. It goes to the heart of the matter. And you are to the heart of the matter of Jesus. Your situation has already gone straight to the heart of God. And Jesus knows your name. He knows the situation. And then you know what he tells us, Brother Randy? Now, you pray for your enemies. And you and I look at the scripture and we read that. And we look at each other and think, does the Lord really know how bad these people are? Jesus knows, and he's telling you, pray for them because they're in trouble with me. They messed with his child. You don't want to do that. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. It is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So let it be written. So let it be done. It's the word of God. And it don't get better than that. Let's pray. Father, we praise your name, giving you thanks, dear Lord God, for so many blessings. Lord, we ask you to touch our life now. Help us, dear Lord God, to be a help to others. Oh, help us unite together in fellowship, always remembering your word, always remembering your truth. We need your direction in all that we do, Father. But help us to help each other. We know that the help from you has already come and will sustain our life. Well, Father, even to the point that you give us a path to walk on and then you tell us you've cleared the path for us. Enjoy our journey. Thank you, Father. We ask for your guidance now as we go forth. Touch each heart, Father. Individuals, dear Lord God, that have not said yes to you, accepted you, dear Lord God, through faith, believing you. Touch their life that they might make that commitment. We ask that blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.